the air I breathe.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. When you lead me, I will follow.
Amen. Let's greet everybody. Good morning. Let's hear things. Roberto. Got a few announcements for you. Want to encourage you again. We've got our Valentine's Day brunch coming up next weekend. That's on the cover of our publication on the heart. I want to encourage you to make plans and be a part of that with us. And our special speaker, Rick Castro. Rick, hey.
Spanish.
I look forward to hearing Rick speaking Chinese. Oh, in Spanish. Okay, in Puerto Rican. Okay. People say that. Well, they speak Mexican. Well, no, that's not a language. Neither is Puerto Rican, right? It's Spanish. It's Spanish. Okay. So, also tonight, we've got our Bible study starting at 4:45 for our men and for our ladies. And I don't know about y'all, but our men are going to be very punctual, and we're going to get out on time because we've got the Super Bowl tonight. So if you want to watch the Super Bowl, you can still come to the Bible study and get there on time and get home to see it. So I want to encourage you to come and take part in our Bible study. Next couple of weeks, we've got two more weeks for both of our winter Bible study. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then life groups, I'd like to invite you to take part. We had some wonderful discussions in our life group today. And it was a joy being with our members of our group. And then I want to encourage you, if you're our guest today, just to take this little form and place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you. And then CareNet has got their 27th annual spring fundraising gala. It's a tremendous banquet over two different nights, and all that information is here in the cell. And we've got our representative, Mrs. Kristen Gonzaga, and where's Kristen? Right there. So if you'll see her in the lobby afterwards, she can help you sign up for this and be a part of it. And again, I still want to encourage y'all to be in prayer. Praying for God to use you to touch and reach some of your neighbors, friends, and families this year, and to invite them to come worship Jesus with us, even on the cold days, so they can come and enjoy our warm fellowship and your love. And so I want to encourage you to be fasting and praying with us, fasting on Fridays. Went Friday to work a little bit over at the property, and so offered to go get a bag of tacos for the workers. And one of them said to me, "Aren't we fasting today?" And I said, "Yes, you are. I mean, I am, but I'm glad you are too." So we did not go get tacos. So there was no tacos on work day Friday. So I want to encourage you to take part in that fast and pray with us.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. And we just thank you for the privilege and the freedom to be able to worship you in this place, Father. And we just ask, as we continue to worship you with the tithes and offerings, that you bless all that are giving the tithes and offerings, Father, and we just ask that you just bless the words that you've given to Pastor Orman, Father, and that it just touch the proper ears that it needs to be heard, Father, and we ask this in your name.
Well, as you know, we're approaching that great weekend of love. Valentine's Day is coming up this next weekend. And so today I'd like for us to look at 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It's interesting that the love chapter is actually sandwiched in with a spiritual gifts chapter. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is the spiritual gifts chapter that there's several other places in Scripture that refer to spiritual gifts, but this is a delineation of seven functional gifts that God gives the church for ministry and service and organization and all of these types of things. There's a confusion sometimes about the gifts. There's difference between the motivational service gifts, the seven, and then sign gifts and other types of gifts. Manifestation gifts that are there in Scripture. So with that in mind, when we come over to chapter 13, the love chapter, we see that first of all, it begins with a reference to five of the different gifts and a comparison or a contrast between the function of those gifts and love and the value of these gifts with or without love. And we're going to look at those today. I've entitled it Five If I's because each one of them starts with an if I, if I, if I. And when we think about this and love and the manifestation of love and us demonstrating love, there was a famous book written years ago by a Christian writer on the five love languages. How many are you familiar with that and that book and that concept? And basically, it says that each of us has a language of love, that when people express love to us that way, we're able to receive it because of our love gift, our gift of a love language. And so today, we're looking at actually five spiritual gifts relating to love and the idea of how effective they are if they're not driven by, motivated by, and carried by the love of God. So if you've got your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, and we're going to look at these together today. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. And so here we see the beginning of this love chapter, and we'll look at another installment of it next week and get further into it. But we see these five if I's. If I can do this, but I'm not driven by love, if I do this and it's not driven by love. The first one is if I am linguistically enabled without love, I'm a useless noise. And so we see this in our first one. And if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. An annoying noise. And so this, he talks about two types of languages, the languages of men and the languages of angels. Now, we don't know if angels speak another language or not, if there's angelic language. Some have argued they probably speak Hebrew because that's the language of the Jews, God's chosen people, as far back in almost human antiquity as we can go. And that argument, but it's interesting that it's talking about languages. And the New Testament has two different words for languages, glossolalia or glossa and dialectos. And so when we get in this, if we were to look at the language aspect, like even with the charismatic movement, and they talk about, and there's a great emphasis in most of the movement on speaking in tongues. And the tongues that they're talking about are glossolalia, ecstatic utterances. And it's really emotional sounds that aren't really a language. Now, some will say, well, they're the angelic language. But the problem is, in every language of the world, whether it's Russia, China, a Spanish-speaking country, English in England or here or whatever, the manifestation of glossolalia with whatever group, whatever country they're contextualized in, their expression of it carries the sounds, symbols, and inflections of the host country they're in. So each one of the ecstatic utterances within the movement carry with it the sound patterns and the sounds of the language they're in. And each language has a different number for that. Now, I haven't memorized them. I don't know. But say, for example, we make all our sounds with 50 sounds, 50 noises. And say the Chinese do 60 and Russian is 70. The languages in that would be reflected by those particular sounds, which is interesting. But the other word, dialectos, is a word dialects. We get dialects from it. And it means literal, real human languages like English, Chinese, or Mandarin, Russian, and Spanish. And it's an actual dialect. And so in the New Testament, we see that there's a spelling out of these things. And in this particular phrase, we're looking at dialectos. And it's the idea of if you can speak in all the languages on earth, and there are probably several thousand different dialects or inflective differences, there are many languages spoken only by small groups of people that we call unreached peoples of the world, that don't have a written language. But the idea with this is if you could speak in all of them, if you have that, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love. And so the idea is this linguistic ability. Years ago when I went to Mid-America Seminary, Dr. Charlie Culpepper was one of our professors there, and he taught some languages and missions at our school. He's a very old man. He's a part of the Shang Tung province revival in China as a missionary in the late 1920s, 1930s. That's how old he was. Well, we're sitting with him and we're eating lunch because at Mid-America Seminary, we had access to the professors. And so one day I'm eating lunch with Dr. Culpepper, and an issue came up about the declension of some verbs in the Hebrew class. And so the student that was talking about it was actually going to go ahead and work on a doctorate in languages, a doctorate. And so he's talking to Dr. Culpepper, and he's talking about the declension of several verbs and what mood and voice and tense they're in, which would be past, present, or future, active, linear, you know, all these different aspects of that particular declension. And so the student said to Dr. Culpepper, said, well, this particular verb pattern is declined this way in every language of the world. And Dr. Culpepper goes, oh, young man, not in Choctaw. Choctaw, an Indian language, and he knew it. Dr. Culpepper was fluent in 17 languages. Fluent, could speak them. And he was able to pull up from one of our Native American Indian languages and pull an illustration out of it. He was one of the most brilliant men I've ever met, and especially with languages. But the scriptures are saying you could be gifted like that. You could have that kind of gift. But if it's not driven by love, your compassion, the love of God flowing through you for other people, then it's meaningless. It doesn't mean a thing. I wish I was gifted in languages. I've been to Brazil and spoke Portuguese, or tried to some, for years on our mission trips. I've been there probably around 20 times or so. And I'm still stuck on languages. I mean, I still had trouble asking, where's the bathroom? And I was in a hotel on one of my earlier mission trips, and I'm speaking to one of the hotel workers there in Altamira. And, where's the bathroom? They don't understand me. I don't understand them. And I said, the bathroom. And, nombre, what's the name? What? Que nombre? And so finally I just went like this. And, the universal language, and pointed me right to the bathroom. Well, actually, first she went and got toilet paper for me. But then she pointed me to the bañero, and so I was able to go. But languages are very valuable, and we know that it's part of the curse of the Tower of Babel that we're broken into these languages now, and we struggle communicating with each other. It's very difficult. It's the major barrier for evangelism, is sharing the gospel to people in their language. And so here he's talking about this aspect. One of the biggest barriers when our people volunteer and go to become missionaries is going to another culture, another country, and learning the language. And being able to, their children learn it just almost immediately. They become fluent rapidly because they're little sponges and their hard drive is not full. But we see that he says, if I am linguistically enabled, but I don't have love, I'm a useless noise. Secondly, if I have prophetic insight and knowledge, without love, I am nothing. Verse 2, and if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, it's interesting, prophecy, when we think about prophecy, we tend to always think about foretelling the future, like the end of days, Battle of Armageddon, tribulation period. We always tend to think prophecy is that. In actuality, the overriding function of the gift of prophet or prophecy is telling the truth. It's not foretelling the future, it's forthtelling truth, speaking truthfully, speaking honestly, speaking accurately. And it has to do with knowledge. The only way you can speak truthfully and accurately is if you have gained knowledge, if you put it together. This came up today in our class. We were talking about the book of Acts, and we were talking about Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke says in his writings, O Theophilus, I have gathered together the information to present to you the information in an orderly fashion. And Dr. Luke did that as he wrote those two major books of the New Testament. And it's the idea of knowledge. And you take knowledge and you synthesize it, and then you use it. Truthfulness is so valuable. It's so valuable and so elusive now these days. And people say, you have your truth, I have my truth. There's no such thing. Truth is truth. And if it's truth, it's everybody's truth, because it's the basis of reality. And so when we think about this, truth needs to be based on knowledge. I've done the research. I've gathered the information. Now let's think about us in the room here and our kind of evolution in gaining knowledge. Years ago, if you wanted to find out about something, I was taught in school, we were taken to the library. They showed us the little file cabinets with the index cards in them. And we were to go through Dewey Decimal System. Anybody remember that? And John Dewey was a heathen. He was awful. He's done more to destroy our education. But anyway, we took his decimal system. And so you would go and you'd go to the library and you'd go through the index cards and look under your topics and authors' names. And then you'd go and find the books and pull them. Then you'd have to read through the index and then read through the book, looking for the information you were looking for. And think of all the time it took to gather just enough for a term paper, a 5-page term paper. And yet you're gaining information and you're hoping it's accurate. You're trying to test it against other references to see if it's accurate or not. And then you're synthesizing it into the idea that kernelizes that truth. Now, as you know, with the advent of these AI search engines, when I interviewed one of them, Grok, supposed to be the fastest, the most powerful Elon Musk's, when I interviewed him, speaks in a woman's voice. I think you can pick any voice. And so I ask it, how do you gather information and how much and where and how do you do this? And so when I asked that question, it responded, this AI search engine, and it said, the internet contains 100 trillion bits of information. 100 trillion with a T. And as you know, a trillion is 1,000 billion, and a billion is 1,000 million. And this is 100 trillion bits of information. And so Grok said, I instantaneously, in real time, gather 10% of that, 10 trillion bits of information, and synthesize it in a paragraph and give you the information. It would take computers, supercomputers, thousands of years to do what these things are doing now in real time. But this idea of knowledge, how much knowledge there is. And so with it, I've been asking it trivial questions, you know. I've been asking it, who killed John F. Kennedy? I ask it, you know, is Adolf Hitler still alive in Venezuela or somewhere? You know, all these different things. And asking these things. And then some other questions about the universe and all that. Of course, you have to depend on it. But I thought about the gathering of that type of information and bringing it together and synthesizing it and giving you a couple of paragraphs. Now, what he's saying here, the Holy Spirit is saying, is if you have that kind of knowledge, which no human has ever had a fractional decimal particle of that type of knowledge. In fact, the only knowledge in the universe that rivals that now is God himself, which this compared to that is like zero, nothing, grain of sand, even the 100 trillion bits of information on the internet is nothing compared to the omniscient, all-knowing God with all information. We really still don't get our... I've been talking about this particular aspect for probably a year and change, and I've still had some members talking to me about, well, you know, does God, you know, does he know what my wife's doing in heaven and this and that? And I mean, does God knows everything, all the information of the universe, and there is a finite amount about it. Now, I ask, is there a finite amount of information? And one of the search engines said, no, it's infinite. Well, that's a lie. That's absolutely not true. There's only so many grains of sand in the universe. Now, we couldn't number them. There's only so many suns, even though they say there are trillions with a T of suns in the universe. And it's ever expanding. But right at this very nanosecond, there's a certain distance in light years for the universe. And then it's bigger, and then it's bigger, and then it's bigger. But each time, that's added to the body of information, and it's a limited amount. And so here we see that God says, no matter how broad your scope is, no matter how much you understand, no matter how wise you are, you can be as wise as Solomon. If you don't have love, it's worthless. It's empty. It's useless. It's nothing. And then he says, and if I have mountain-moving faith without love, I'm nothing. And this is in verse 2, where he says, "And if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." Now think about mountain-moving faith. I mean, that's an incredible amount of vision, trust. Without a vision, the people perish. To be able to have that kind of vision. I had lunch with Jerry Falwell several times, but one particular time I had lunch with Dr. Falwell, Jerry Falwell, and they had just been given basically the Ericsson building, which was a cell phone factory that's on was adjacent to Liberty Mountain, 1 million square feet of buildings under air. And we're having lunch, and he said, "How much do you think, Daryl, that we gave for the Ericsson building?" And I said, "I would not have a clue, a million square foot building." And he said, $9,000 or something. They had to put something on the transaction. So the donor said, "I'll sell it to you for $9,000. I said, "My goodness, I can't believe it, you know." And Jerry Falwell, when we were at school, Liberty didn't even really, it didn't have a campus, didn't really hardly own any facilities. We went to school in Timberlake Elementary School that the public school system there in Forest, Virginia, in that area of Virginia, had abandoned, and they picked it up for a song. And so we were meeting in an elementary school building. My first two dorms I lived in, one was the Sergeant Arms Hotel downtown, and then another was the Kennedy House. It was an old people's rehab facility, a residential facility, and there were old people on the first floor, and then us college students on the second and third floor. And, I mean, we were stuck everywhere all over town. And back then, and I played basketball there, Dr. Falwell says, "Someday in sports we're going to be playing Notre Dame, the great Catholic institution. We're going to be playing them in football and basketball and all that." And we said, "Dr. Falwell, what a vision. We love and admire you. It'll never happen." Well, what faith he had. Year before last, Liberty's football team was undefeated and played Oregon in the, Rose Bowl, and got killed. They got murdered. But they played this power school, top 10 power school, and they played everybody, SEC teams and everybody else, and they beat some of them. And, you know, what vision, what faith he had. Elon Musk is a man of faith. Here's a guy that says NASA's not the only one that can send out spaceships and put satellites into orbit and start a new AT&T phone system. And here's this guy that's probably on the mathematical scale and right now worth, they say, about $800 billion. Poor thing. If any of you have his number, I will call him and ask him to give us money for our project. But it's interesting that to do all that, he brought on the fastest AI computer in history July 9th last year, and he did it in several months. And the president, CEO of NVIDIA, said no one on earth could have done that but Elon Musk. And the kind of faith and vision to do these things, electric self-driving cars, and all of these other things. And he doesn't do it for money. He never has. He just is constantly spinning and thinking and doing. And yet, if he's not driven by love, now Jerry Falwell was driven by the love of God, the gospel of Christ, and he is being highly rewarded in the exponential growth of Liberty and the alumni all over the world. As you know, Shay and Josh are missionaries, and they're from Liberty. Kim and I are from Liberty. There are tens of thousands. In fact, now they have about 100,000 students with their online school and everything. and driven by love and highly rewarded. But is Elon Musk, is he driven by love? Is Elon Musk a Christian? There's been some feeble attempts to witness to him. Y'all pray with me that I get a crack at it. I'd love to witness to Elon. I'd love it to give it a go. Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of evangelicals would love to. But if he's not driven by love, he can be now rated as one of the wealthiest men that ever lived up there near Solomon and yet miss it all. So it's not the languages you speak. It's not the knowledge you have. It's not those abilities. It's not the faith you exhibit. But it's love. It's love. It's love. And then if I have amazing generosity without love, it profits me nothing. We see this in verse 3. And if I give all my possessions to the poor, and if I deliver my body to burn but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Giving all my possessions to the poor. Now, Michael Dell from Dell Computers, he and his wife gave the biggest gift in history toward education. Last year, they gave $1 billion. And they gave it to help establish investment funds for young people all over the country. And what a great thing. But if they're not driven by the love of Christ, if the Spirit of God is not the driving force in their life, it profits ultimately nothing in eternity when we leave this life. I mean, people that have named buildings after themselves and all of these different things can profit nothing if it's not driven by the love of God. God says, I want my love to inspire you, to push you, to drive you to do the things that you do. His love is to be our fuel as we reach out to others and minister to others. And then finally we see, if I sacrificially give my life without love, it profits me nothing. In the final part of our fifth of these FIs, if I deliver my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. Mel Gibson came out with a great movie a few years ago, Hacksaw Ridge. It was a story from World War II, Battle of Okinawa, and it was the ferocious Battle of Okinawa, where in this particular expression of the battle, our GIs were to climb these sea nets up a 400-foot cliff, and then when they got to the top, the plateau of it, they were to attack the enemy position. And in their midst was a young man who was actually, he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and Desmond Dodd, and he determined that he could not use weapons and kill other men, that pacifist position that Seventh-day Adventists hold as a Christian denomination. Now, some would say, oh, no, it's a cult. They're not a cult. The Kingdom of the Cults book, the author of it established that they are evangelicals. They only believe in salvation by grace through faith through Christ. When I was certified in Evangelism Explosion at Coleridge Presbyterian Church years ago, Dr. Kennedy, who is a consummate Christian scholar, had allowed Seventh-day Adventist leadership, their leading evangelists, some of their chief officers of their denomination, to be trained in evangelism there. I went to lunch with them. I interviewed them. I talked to them, and they shared. They don't believe worshiping on Saturday gets you to heaven. They just believe it's obedient to the commandment to observe the Sabbath and so forth. Well, anyway, so this particular young man, Desmond, was a Seventh-day Adventist. But he wanted to serve his country, but he said, I will not take arms against other humans and kill them. I will not use a gun. So he volunteered to become the EMT to, you know, provide the hospital care there on the battlefield and all of that. And so he volunteered in that role there in the battle. So this particular battle was called the Medina Escarpment, Medina. And this particular escarpment was an unusually fortified position. And when our soldiers got to the top, they've only got a cliff, a 400-foot cliff behind them. So they had to advance, and they were being annihilated, mowed down. And Desmond went up there, and finally they said, retreat, retreat. And the guys finally got to the escarpment, and they were rappelling down the landing ropes and nets and trying to get away from there and get out of the carnage. Well, Desmond stayed up on top of the plateau and in the midst of enemy fire for a couple of days. And he would run and grab our injured soldiers who were left there, our GIs, drag them to the escarpment, tie ropes on them, and lower them down. And he did it over and over and over again. And he saved 75 of our soldiers. And in the process, a grenade put shrapnel in him and he was injured. A sniper shot and wounded him. So he had a sniper shot and he had shrapnel in him. And so he continued till he just could not do any more, find any more, get to any more. And then he went down, he rappelled down. And when they were trying to load him on one of the jeeps to carry him to medical care, he said, I'm waiting till last until you get the last of these injured men out of there. Now, that is a person giving their body, giving their life, giving their love. And the scriptures say, no greater love has any man than a man give his life for his friends. Now, Desmond survived it, but what an example of giving your body. Now, the great thing about him is that Desmond was a believer filled with the Spirit of God. He loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart, and so he'll be fully rewarded for this expression of love. But the Bible said you could even do that. You could go to leper colonies in another part of the world, but if you're not driven by love, you could go to church every Sunday. You could volunteer for every ministry. You could be involved in everything you could possibly do your whole life. But if it's not driven by love, it's empty and vain. It's worthless, these scriptures say. It's useless. And so here we see these gifts, the gift of giving, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith. We see these gifts, and their expression is to be demonstrated through the love of God. Agape love. Now, to be honest, I don't believe any of us naturally have agape love. I think primarily our love is either eros love, erotic love, physical attraction, or philos love, brotherly love, congenial friendship, fellowship, mutual expressions of goodwill one to another. Agape love is the unconditional love of God. Now, you may be saying in your heart right now, there's people in my life I can't love. I hope it's not your spouse. You know, I can't love him anymore. I can't love her anymore. You know, I hope that's not the case. But I want to tell you, with the reservoir and the resources that God gives us, that we can love anyone. We could love anyone on earth with the agape love of God. And so today, as we look at these five if I's, and we think about will I, I just want to encourage you to say, yes, I will. I will submit myself to Christ. I will allow the love of God to flow through my life, and I will be an expression of his love to those around me. It means the world to them. Yesterday, Kim and I had the opportunity to go to Tampa to watch our grandson, Reese, play soccer. Reese is a special boy. He's on the scale, and he's a little bit different than all the other boys. And it was upward soccer for their church team over in Tampa. Now, the coaches let Reese play, And he was all over the field like a gadfly. Reese, you're supposed to be over here on the right. Go down there. He'd go down there. 5 minutes later, he's dancing on the other end of the field. I mean, he's all over the place. Occasionally, he kicked the ball. And then he would stop, and he would look, and he calls me Bebop. He'd go, Bebop, do like this, you know. And then he'd do this kiss and throw it to heaven and all this kind of stuff. So I'm throwing kisses back at him. And I love you, Bebop. And then he'd kick the ball, you know. It was just a joy. And I'm standing next to my son, Josh, and Josh says, isn't he a love, you know. And everybody was just excited about Reese being out there. And I told him I'd give him $5 if he kicked a goal. He tried a couple of times, and then afterwards he said, give me the money. I paid him for effort. He didn't quite score, but I'm going to keep after it, you know, turn him into a professional. But the love, you know, the love, God wants us to exhibit that love. He wants us to express that love. He wants the love of God to flow out of us, and people receive it. I mean, little Reese, I grabbed his cheeks when they came over to drink water, and I said, I'm so proud of you. And he said, I love you, Bebop, you know. And it's just an exciting thing to express the love of God. Amen? And so I just want to encourage you today with this as we look at these. And one of these may be your gift. You may have the gift of giving. You may be filled with faith and belief. You may have a real corner on truth and knowledge, and you're a great apologist for the cause of Christ, and you can defend the gospel with anybody. But let all of that be controlled by your love, and let it be an expression of your love. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. And for us to love them that way, can I hear an amen? So this year, as we're all going after all our neighbors, all our family, all our friends, for Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, let it be driven by the agape love of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And Lord, I ask you, Almighty God, there may be some here that still have not experienced your personal love, the expression of your love in their heart and life. And I ask you right now to knock at their heart's door. And I pray, dear God, you'd speak to them, draw them to yourself supernaturally. I pray, dear Lord, that you would give them the gift of eternal life and your love in a supernatural way. And I'd like to invite you right now, if you haven't already done so, to just say, oh, Lord God, you see me, you hear me, you know me, you love me. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please come into my life and take complete control of me. Thank you for allowing your son Jesus in his love to die for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's stand together and sing. I want to encourage you to come as God speaks to your heart today. A couple of things. As many of you may be aware, that President Trump is talking about the National Day of Prayer being a time to rededicate our country to God. What a noble thing. What an unusual messenger. Can I hear an amen? And it's unusual how God's using him. And so if any of you have an interest in going as a group to be a part of that, contact our office over the next few weeks and let us know, and we'll start a list, and we can coordinate if some of you would like to go and be a part of that in Washington, D.C., trying to gather a record number, which is Trump. That's definitely Trump's motif. And but for such a noble cause, to rededicate our country. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just give us a call at the office. A couple of updates I'd like to share with you. A couple of our members, Joe Gressett is one of our sweet members that has had a heart valve failing. And the artificial valve that she's had has been so small that our local doctors would not operate on it. So they went to Emory in Atlanta, and Emory did one procedure that was unsuccessful about a week ago or so, but they did a second follow-up on it to correct that problem, and she's doing better, but she needs our prayers. Her name is Jo Grissett. So I want to encourage you to be in prayer for that and pray for that with me as I pray. And then also, Jack Rogers yesterday went in for emergency surgery with an impacted colon, and they were able to do a successful procedure on Jack, and he's recuperating now here at North. And so I want to encourage you to also be in prayer for Jack as he recuperates from this procedure. Now, for tonight in the Super Bowl, we're not praying over that. Number one, I mean, personally, I don't have a dog in that fight. Neither one of those teams are favorites for Kim and I, although I think she's picking the Seahawks. So there's some godly young men on both teams. So no matter who wins, there's some people that are going to be bearing witness to Jesus. Can I hear an amen? And we're excited about that for sure. So let's pray together, and let's pray for Joe and Jack together, all right? Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and ask you, please, Almighty God, to just be with Joe and completely heal her in this heart valve procedure and give her complete circulation back and strengthen her circulation system. We pray for Jack, dear God, that you just heal him from his procedure, that you'd give him peace and joy, touch this area that's been impacted by surgery, and heal him quickly. And we do pray for our nation, dear God. We ask you to continue to put a hedge of protection around President Trump. And we pray, dear God, that you would allow us to truly rededicate our nation to you this spring. We pray, Lord, that you would also be with the prayers of our membership here, this flock, this body, this fellowship. And Father, for your honor and glory, you've told us the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. And we pray that for this church. We ask you, please, Almighty God, to fill this place for your honor and glory this year. We pray that we'd be overflowing with all ages of families and dear ones that are seeking you, searching for you, want to know you in a supernatural way. And Father, please meet with us by your powerful Spirit. Bless our people as they fast on Fridays. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tickets in the lobby, and see you tonight for Bible study. God bless.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese inviting you to listen to Word of Eternal Life every Monday at 5:30 a.m. to learn more about God's plan of eternal life through Jesus Christ here at WCNO 89.9 FM.